So Matthew chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 18 to 25 in the New Living Translation. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man, did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son. You are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. So, what is your favorite Christmas movie? Yeah, you've had time now to watch several, right? For some of you, it's going to be White Christmas. I mean, who doesn't love to see that classic movie? For others of you, it's A Wonderful Life, and the list goes on and on. If you were to ask my daughter in Oklahoma, she would tell you, Elf. Yeah. If you're familiar with the movie Elf, the main character is played by Will Ferrell, and he discovers, he's a bit out of place, right? I mean, he's this huge, tall person that's raised with a bunch of elves, and he realizes pretty quickly that something's out of place, and he realizes he's finally told he's the child of a human having been raised by elves all these years. And so in the movie, he travels back. He finds out his father lives, of all places, in New York City. And he travels back to find his dad. And in the process, he learns and teaches others about caring. Farrell describes the trip from the North Pole to New York City by saying this: "Well, I passed through seven levels of the candy cane forest, through the seas of swirly twirly gumdrops, and then I walked through the Lincoln Tunnel." Talk about a shock. He'd gone from the wonder of the candy cane forest and the joy of the swirly twirly gumdrops to the filth and the muck and the mire of the Lincoln Tunnel. He was confronted on the one hand by mystery and on the other by reality. I share that because I think that's where we find Joseph in our story this morning. He's caught between mystery and reality. Now, here's some things you may not have known about Joseph. This one doesn't surprise me. He's the patron saint of cabinet makers. Did you know that, Jim Christie? Patron saint of cabinet makers. That kind of makes sense. Carpenter, all that. Patron saint of confectioners. Don't ask me to make that connection. Patron saint of engineers. I get that. Patron saint of immigrants. Patron saint of house hunters, travelers, pioneers, pregnant women, fathers, married people. He's the patron saint of Manchester, New Hampshire, San Jose, California, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Here's one that always amazes me. He's the patron saint of Nashville, Tennessee. He's the patron saint of Austria, Belgium, Bohemia, Canada, China, Korea, and Vietnam. Well, that's a pretty impressive list, right? Where we find Joseph in our story, it's not nearly that impressive. Matthew 1 begins with the genealogy of the birth of Jesus. And it begins with a long list of so-and-so was the father of so-and-so, who was the father of so-and-so, who was the father of so-and-so. And it makes its way all the way down to Joseph. And at the point where we would expect to read, Joseph was the father of Jesus. The narrative shifts. And instead we read these words. And Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born. Wonder, mystery, reality. I'm hearing voices from on high. I'm glad you heard it. I'm just not going nuts, because that's possible too. Mystery, reality. Joseph and Mary had been engaged, right? Now, engagement in that time was greatly different than engagement currently. So that would be, engagement in Joseph's time would mean that they were about two-thirds married. The only thing that hadn't happened was the actual ceremony, but they were two-thirds married. It took a certificate of divorcement to break an engagement. It was that binding and that serious. They've been making the wedding plans. They've got the rabbi lined up. I would say they had the organist lined up. I'm not sure they had organs in that. No, I'm quite sure they didn't. Perhaps they had the harpist lined up. Whatever flowers would have been ordered, if it were modern day, they would have been planning the bachelor party and all the things that go with all of that. And things are marching along just fine, and Joseph is getting ready, and everything comes to a screeching halt. And Joseph has a dream. And in the dream, he finds out that Mary, the one to whom he is engaged, is pregnant. And he knows that that's not his child. How did it happen? But he doesn't really want to know how it happened. Nor does he want to hear the ridicule from his buddies at work. And so Joseph, Scripture tells us, he's a godly and a righteous man. And he makes a choice. And the choice is, I'm going to break off the engagement rather quietly. You see, the law would have empowered Joseph to put Mary to death. But he loved her and he didn't want to see that happen. This was the one that he loved. So he put her away quietly. When people asked him what happened to the wedding plans, he would simply say, well, it just wasn't going to work. Life would go on. But the angel comes to Joseph in a dream. This is the free translation. Joseph, buck up! Joseph, go ahead and marry her. The child The child belongs to God. It's a boy. It's Emmanuel, God with us. And I love that Scripture doesn't tell Joseph, Joseph, you need more faith. It doesn't tell Joseph, Joseph, you need more love. Joseph's problem was he was a coward and he was afraid. Afraid of what others would say, afraid of what society would think. All of these fears were crashing down around Joseph. And the angel comes to Joseph and says, Joseph, don't be afraid. The child that is in her is from God. Is from God. Joseph kind of fades into the background at this point, doesn't he? I mean, we're going to come across him a couple more times. We come across him on the eighth day when they bring the child and they're going to name the child. We come across Joseph later on. They go to the temple and that Jesus is 12. And then Joseph just kind of disappears. There's not another word in all of Scripture from Joseph. There's not a word from Joseph anywhere in Scripture. There's just a few verses about him. Man, I would love to know, Joseph, how did the rest of the story go? We don't even know when Joseph died. We know that apparently he was dead by the time we get to the crucifixion of Jesus. You've got mangers or creches set up around your house probably. And last count in our house, I want to say it was 14. We have just a few. Joseph is so indistinguishable that when it goes time to set up the manger scene, you kind of got to look, don't you? Is this a shepherd or is this Joseph? Because guess what? They look alike. The good news with that is if you've got one of those ceramic sets and Joseph gets knocked off and loses his head, not a big deal. Just promote a shepherd. No one ever knows. No one knows. We bought a new nativity last year, and it's wooden. Fortunately, on the bottom of each piece, it tells me who it is. Because I got to be honest, I could not tell by looking. Now, I mean, I've looked at these things all. I couldn't tell you which one was Joseph. I had to turn it over. Oh, I had a shepherd next to Jesus and Mary. Don't be afraid, Joseph. Walk in obedience. It's easy to imagine Joseph wanting everything planned out, isn't it? He was an engineer. He was a carpenter. And what's the great rule from a carpenter? You measure twice and cut once. Careful, because you don't want to make mistakes. And yet all of this all of a sudden comes crashing down around Joseph, and he doesn't have time to measure twice. He doesn't have time to measure once. All of a sudden he's got decisions to make, and he's going to marry the one that was his fiance. He's going to marry Mary. I was struggling with how am I going to say that. He's going to marry Mary, and there would be born to them Jesus. This is a moment that's akin in my mind to the voice of the Lord coming to Noah in the Old Testament. Noah, you need to start building an ark. There's no rain in the forecast, I hear Noah saying. God says, Noah, start nailing. Let's build the ark. It's akin to Peter, James, and John. They're there by the sea, and the voice of Jesus comes to them and says, come on, let's go, follow me. And they drop their nets, and they followed. They followed. Joseph all of a sudden doesn't sound so safe. All of a sudden, Joseph isn't so concerned about being careful. Don't be afraid, the angel says to Joseph, to walk a different path, to follow dreams. And the voice of God comes to us today. in a world that is fractured and torn apart by many voices on many sides. And God's invitation to us is to be the church. To be the church, and in a day when this world desperately needs for the church to be a voice of hope and a voice of peace and herald the good news of Jesus Christ. God invites us to stop being so cautious, to live dangerously. Living dangerously means responding to God's voice and the promptings of His Holy Spirit. What is God prompting you to do this day? Living dangerously means being willing to bear the shame of the cross that we are called to bear. Living dangerously means being willing to lay aside personal privilege with Joseph of old and say yes to the heart of a servant. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, you recognize the name, he was a poet. At one point in his life, he had lost hope. He had 6 children, and his wife had recently died in a horrific accident. Her dress had caught fire after Longfellow had gone to bed, and he woke up to her agonized screams. He threw a drape on her. He threw himself on her, trying to put out the fire. But her burns were so severe that she died the next day. In the process of putting out the fire, Longfellow's face was rather severely burned. That's why when you see a picture of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, he has a beard. He grew the beard to cover the disfigurement of his face. He had 6 children, and after his wife died, one of the kids, a son, made his way to Washington, D.C. to join the Union troops in the Civil War. It would have been 1863. Not long afterwards, the word comes to Longfellow that his son had been severely wounded. He wasn't sure whether he would live or die. So he hurried his way to D.C. When he got there, he found that while severely wounded, there was hope for his son. And on Christmas Day, as he heard the bells ringing, he wrote the words of a poem that wrestle with the reality that hope on the one hand seems lost, and yet God calls to hope on the other. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black accursed mouth, the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound, the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households torn of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong. It mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Church of Jesus Christ is called to a living hope, possible only in the person of Jesus Christ himself. Living hope lived out by Joseph of old, living hope that meets us in the place that we find ourselves this day. May we leave this place living in hope and grace and peace and joy, doing small acts of love and grace, putting one foot in front of the other, though the wrong seems off so strong. God still is the ruler yet. Amen.